Hold lightly to all that passes away. Don't let it fill your horizon. Don't be deceived into thinking that this is your life. The greatest mistake a Christian can make in this life is to major on the things that pass away.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that's a bold statement. The greatest mistake that a Christian can make is to major on things that'll pass away. Why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, well, it's like this thing about climbing up the ladder and then finding it's against the wrong wall. And to live for, you know, what have I achieved and how much have I amassed and who have I become? And all of that's going to pass away. And in the Bible, we're being told this, that the things that remain are faith and hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. So the measure of success is not the usual way of, you know, what have I achieved and accomplished and amassed? The question is really, what is there of faith in my life? What is there of hope? What do I know of hope? How real is that within me? And most of all, how am I growing in regards to love? Now, that really goes to the heart of how we evaluate who we are, how we're doing. It goes to the very core of life, and that's why it's so important for us today.
And that's exactly what we're wrapping up the short series by looking at. So join us, if you can, in 1 Corinthians 13 as we conclude the message, How Can Love Last? Here's Pastor Colin.
So here's the first thing that Paul is alerting us to. If we are to live successfully, we need to know what is passing away and be absolutely clear about it. But the other side of the coin is that we also equally need to know the things that remain. And so here's my second observation this morning. The things that remain, and we find them in verses 11 to 13. And in verse 13, Paul states it quite clearly that three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, he says, is love. Now, when he identifies faith, hope, and love, we need to include with that and in that everything that flows from faith, everything that expresses love, everything that is a consequence of living hope. And the reason that I say that is, of course, the rest of the Bible makes it clear. The Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, if you even give a cup of cold water to someone in need and you do it in my name, that act will certainly not lose its reward. So what Jesus is saying there is even the smallest act, the giving of a cup of cold water, can't think of a much smaller gift than that. But even the smallest act that is an expression of love in the name of Jesus Christ will remain, abide, reverberate to the praise and the glory of God forever. You will certainly not lose your reward. Every initiative that comes from faith, every little kindness, whether hidden or known by others, that flows from love, every hanging in there in your experience that comes simply because you have hope in God to do great things yet in the future, these things will remain forever. Your sins and your iniquities, God says, if you are in Christ, I will remember no more. But all that flows in your life from faith and hope and love will be a joy in the heart of God forever. So, for example, a little boy, 11 years old, came up to me at the end of the first service. He said, Pastor Colin, one of my life goals is that my grandma will come to know the Lord. 11 years old. And he said he was praying for her. He said, there are some families where everyone's a Christian, but my grandma's not a Christian. And right there is, in an 11-year-old, faith, and there is hope, and there is love, and that reverberates to the glory of God forever. Forever. If you are ever tempted to think that your life doesn't count for much, It probably means that you are looking at the wrong things. You're looking at the list of things that pass away. You're saying, well, what positions have I held? What achievements have I got? And so forth and so on. You're looking at the wrong things. You need to start looking at the things that will remain. And when you start pursuing the things that remain, you will be released and delivered from ever thinking again that your life doesn't count for anything much. Now, I want you to notice the powerful word that Paul uses here, and it's going to take us right to the answer to our big question, how can love last? Notice that Paul says right at the end of this chapter that love remains. I want us to take that little word in because it's so important. Love remains. Now, when he says love remains, is it not obvious from that he is therefore assuming that this love already exists within the lives of the people to whom he is writing? See, if he had said, when Christ comes, when perfection comes, love will be given, then we might conclude, well, there you are, you know, we're not going to know much of it here and now, but at least on the last day, we will then be filled with the love of Christ, but it isn't really accessible to us now. But he doesn't say, when the perfection comes, love will be given. He says, when the perfection comes, when Christ comes, love will remain. Now, by using this word remain, what he is clearly saying to us, the conclusion we have to draw from this, is that this love is already present. If you belong to Christ, his love is already in you. Indeed, that is a biblical definition of what it means to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, Christ is in you. It's not just that you have known his love from afar, but as you have come to trust him as your Savior and he's forgiven your sins, he says, I will give my Spirit to you. If the Spirit of God who is love lives within you, God's love by definition is in you. And the Apostle John makes this most clear in saying that this is the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. Not that you know God from afar, but that by his grace, his love, his presence, his Spirit has come to live within you. Now, this side of heaven, the love of Christ in you gets mixed up with all kinds of other stuff. The stuff of the flesh that'll dampen it down, sometimes seem to smother it completely, bind it up, and all the rest of it. That's why life is such a struggle. But if you are a Christian, the New Testament makes it very clear that the love of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ is in you. When you arrive in heaven, God's work within your life will take a quantum leap forward. But it will be the same work that takes a quantum leap forward, not a different work. Notice the continuity in the pictures that Paul uses here. He says it will be like moving, verse 11, from childishness to maturity. There's a continuity there, you see. It'll be like moving, verse 12, from confusion, seeing in part, to clarity, seeing fully. It will be when the perfection comes, it will be when God's work in you is complete in the presence of Jesus, a quantum leap forward, but it will be a finishing of what God has already started, because if you are in Christ, then God's love is in you. You have experienced this love. You have received this love. Your body has become, Paul says, the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is the fountain of this love. You have received it, and therefore you are able to give it. Let me say this to the men of this church. If Jesus Christ lives in you, you are in a different position from other men. You have a different capacity for showing a love that lasts. Let me say this to the women of the congregation. If the Spirit of Christ lives within you, you have a different capacity from other women. Really, you're born again. The Spirit lives within you. You have a capacity that is not given to other women who do not know Christ to love in a way that lasts. Other men and other women are able to give a natural affection, a love that is given to us by nature. But the love that is given to us by nature is a love that will pass away. You are given a different capacity, and that puts you in a different kind of position. The love that has come to your heart is a love that will never let you go, the love of Christ for you. It is a love that will remain for all eternity, and your capacity to love others will be a reflection of the love with which God has loved you. Now take this in. This is part of believing the gospel. God's love never fails, and if you are in Christ, this love is in you. There is no such thing as a Christian believer, at least in terms of the New Testament, there is no such thing as a Christian believer who does not have the love of Christ within him or her. So, now let's come back to our question. How can love last? And here's the answer from the Scriptures. Your love will last as God's love lives in you.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called How Can Love Last? It's part of a larger series called Love a Beginner's Guide, where we're taking a look at 1 Corinthians 13. And if you joined us late, if you have to leave early, or you ever just want to go back and listen to a broadcast in its entirety, you can always do that by coming to our website, where you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Our website address is unlockingthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Jesus says, remain in my love, and as you remain in his love, then his love will continue to be reflected through you. Now, if we've grasped that teaching, it seems to me that there are two possible ways in which we might want to respond at the end of this series this morning. The first is that if you are truly a Christian, and if you know that God's love by his incredible grace has come to you, his Spirit lives within you, you could say with Paul, yeah, Christ lives in me. But you may very well find, as I so often find, that your own love begins to be like a flame that's burning very low. And if that's your position this morning, you may like to ask God to fan the flame of his love in your life. Let me give you a very practical example of someone who did that, and I'm deliberately taking an example from a few years ago so that we can see effects that last. A number of years ago, I had breakfast with someone who had been serving in a particular ministry in this church for many years. Wonderful person, faithful to the Lord. He had done good work with the same group of people for a long period of time, but after many years, when we met for this breakfast, it was quite clear that he was tired. He was getting frustrated with this particular group of people that he'd worked with for such a long time, and he said to me that he was really seriously thinking about packing in that particular responsibility in ministry. I don't know, he said, the people are not responding to me like they used to, and people are complaining, and they're picking up on this and that. And I don't know, I just feel really fed up with it all, really. And I remember saying to him in the course of the conversation, you know, it sounds like you're getting tired of these people. And I said, why don't you ask God to renew your love for them? And then the conversation moved on. A few days later, he phoned me up. He said, you know, I've really thought about what you said. And you know, that was right. I've stopped loving these people. And I've asked God to forgive me for that, And I've asked him to help me start loving them again. And you know what? God answered his prayer. I believe from recollection that was 5 years ago. He's still joyfully and fruitfully in the same ministry today. Now, where in your life can you recognize this kind of jadedness, this love burning low, this kind of frustration and tiredness? And you can come to God today and you can say as a Christian believer, Lord Jesus Christ, renew my love for the people you have called me to serve so that I may do it with a freshness again. And that's how you sustain what God has trusted you to do. So it may be that this morning you want to make that your prayer. Will you, Lord, please fan the flame of your love in me so that I may be wonderfully renewed, replenished, filled for what you are calling me to do. And there's a second possible response, and this is the last thing, and it's just this. It may be for some of us in the congregation this morning that your honest reaction to this series is to say, you know, I'm not sure I have ever known what you are talking about. You talk about Christ living in me. You talk about God's love living in me. You talk about the Holy Spirit living in me. I read these things here in the scriptures, but I'm not sure I have ever really known or experienced what you are speaking about. Well, if that's what you're thinking right now, let me say first, I am so glad you're here. And I'm so glad that you are listening to the Bible thoughtfully and intelligently. And if this is an honest reflection of where you're at, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, then you can receive this love. You can. You can come to Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again and is alive today, and you can ask him that he will pour his love into your heart, and he will do it if you ask him and you come to him humbly in repentance and in faith. This is how Paul describes what God does in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. He says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Now, the big question is, who are the us? Into whose hearts does God pour out his love by the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, to everyone who has come to Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith, acknowledging your need, believing his promise. And why should you not come to him in this way today and receive his promise, which is for you as well as for others, that his love should be poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, who he will give to you? You can tell him, Lord, as I have seen your kind of love, I realize I don't have what it takes. I've gone through a lot of my life thinking that I'm really a very caring kind of a person and a very loving kind of person. I look at your love, I see I don't have something like that at all. Will you come and give to me what I do not have? Will you forgive me for my arrogance and pride, thinking that I have all that's needed somehow to live my life and somehow to enter eternity, as if I had it within me rather than receiving it from you? Lord, I see what a self-centered person I really am. Will you forgive me? Will you cleanse me? Will you change me? Renew me, fill me, Will you give me the kind of love that you have and I don't through your Son, Jesus Christ? And here is the promise of God to you that if you will come to Jesus Christ in this way, in repentance and in faith, he will never, never, never turn you away. There is nothing that you have done, no number of years of delaying and coming that would cause him to back away from you. If you will come exchanging the clenched fist towards God for the open hand before God, you will receive what Christ died and rose to give you. So there are two possible responses. If Christ is in you, but you know that that love is burning low and it's just smothered over by all kinds of other stuff, ask him to fan that love that is within you into a new flame, and you will be blessed and renewed and resourced and replenished for everything he is truly calling you to do. And if you know that that love is not within you and you are not yet Christ and Christ is not yet truly in you by the Spirit, will you come and ask that he will give you what you do not have? As you see, we really need to face honestly the question, do you have this love? If you have it, you can give it. If you don't have it, you can receive it.
What a great reminder today from Pastor Colin that we really need to be holding lightly onto those things that will pass away. So many of those things that we value or think are so important in our own lives. I know for me, some of those things I want to hold on tightly to are things that are just passing away. We can thank God for those gifts, but we need to hold them loosely, hold them lightly. And then remember or focus on those things that will remain, faith, hope, and love. Well, you've been listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, How Can Love Last? It's part of a series called Love, a Beginner's Guide. We've been really looking at 1 Corinthians 13, one of the best-known chapters in all the Bible. Think about how many weddings this passage has been read at. But this is also a passage of Scripture that may be one of the least understood. So if you want to purchase today's message or this three-part series, Love, a Beginner's Guide, just call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. You know, as you give a gift of any amount in support Unlocking the Bible this month, we want to send you two books from Pastor Colin, Heaven, How I Got Here, it's the story of the thief on the cross, and Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot. And Colin, I have to say, one of the things I really love about these two books is the fact that they're written in the first person.
Yeah, and to me, that was the great joy in writing them, to look at the stories of these two men and to say, now, what was it actually like for them? I mean, you take what we're told about Judas, for example. I mean, as one of the 12, he would have served the bread and the fish when the great crowd were fed by Jesus in that marvelous miracle. Judas was there when Mary took that flask of ointment and poured it over Jesus in its entirety. And he objects and he says, now that, you know, this could have been sold. He always had his eye on the money and so forth. I found it so helpful to try and get inside the shoes, as it were, of these two remarkable characters, one who was obviously on the way to hell, the thief on the cross, and ended up in heaven. And the other, who it appeared was on the way to heaven, one of the disciples of Jesus,
yeah,
and actually ended up far from heaven in hell itself. And so here are two remarkable stories, and I've tried to get on the inside of them, and they really speak to us about the central importance of trusting Jesus, and then when we trust Jesus, of staying with Jesus.
Well, we would love to send you these two books. It's our way of saying thank you for giving a gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, our website is unlockingthebible.org and the phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Why did Jesus come into the world? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.